Hello everyone, welcome to this episode of the Chicken Food. I trust you had a very fantastic weekend and you are as excited as I am today in this particular episode.
Great. It's been quite an interesting personally, you know. So I got qualified as an insurance professional, you know. So I passed my final exam. So yeah, thank you very much. So
welcome to the club.
yeah, it was just I'm so happy, and I'm happy to be joining you. You're my senior.
No, hey. Congratulations on CJ. I hope that
thank you very much.
This particular milestone will open more doors and opportunities to you, and I hope that.
Amen. Thank you.
Certification to much more insurance change and participation in the insurance industry.
Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. It's been a long journey, and I'm happy that I'm finally done. And
what do you think is going to be a different one? I know that we're still going on with IBS Women in Insurance. What do you think?
I think it's another interesting episode, really, because we were speaking to another woman. I call her a superwoman, really, because I was drawn to her mainly because of her journey, you know, from the agency space, you know, and then going on to start up our own insurtech business, right? So it's quite an interesting journey, and it's something that I'm keen on hearing her speak about. So yeah, it'll be interesting to hear from her. I mean, especially the fact that I have background in agency, so I think I have a soft spot towards agency. So yeah.
No, I think it's just about natural. So who do you think this woman is? Because I'm sure that most of us in our audience are excited.
Yes. Yeah, she's actually from Kenya. Eunice Minor is her name, and she's the founder CEO of Bsmart Insurance. Eunice Minor will be joining us after the break, and you don't want to miss that, so stay tuned. Welcome, Eunice.
Thank you so much.
How has it been for you in the past few months?
For me, it's been a roller coaster. when crisis happened, I see opportunities, and I keep asking, what are we supposed to do? What solutions should we provide? So that has really kept me very busy, trying to find solutions that work for the industry that we are in, that is insurance. Yeah.
Can you maybe tell us a bit about yourself, right, and what your motivation is?
Okay, great. So I am Eunice Maina Mburu. Maina is my father, Mburu is my husband. I try to keep all the names. I am a mother and a wife, and I'm the CEO and founder of Bsmart Insurance. Bsmart is an online marketplace for insurance, where we enable customers to compare not just price, but benefits, exclusions, and other customer views of each particular company. I've also an author of the book called Sell Me This Pen. It's a story of my journey as an insurance agent and the lessons that I've learned and what we can do to make insurance more palatable, more anxiety. Yeah, so that's documented in that book. So you're asking about my journey to becoming an interviewer. Yeah, it's very interesting. I was a trainer. Okay, my journey goes back. I studied chemistry and mathematics in the university. So I'm a scientist. And then I worked a little bit in a pharmaceutical company in the quality control department, basically working with the burettes and pipettes, if you remember your high school and university. For those who went to do chemistry in the university, I realized this is not that hard for me. Just interacting with pipettes wasn't making me tick. So I got another job as a trainer in an ICT company. That is where I studied computer studies and a lot of many computer courses. Like I'm a Microsoft certified system engineer. I also have a diploma in computers, international advanced diploma in computer studies by NCC Education. That is a UK-based institution. Yeah, and then I reached a point where I felt like, it's time to move to the next level. But then I didn't know. I knew I wanted a sales job, but I didn't know what exactly I wanted to sell. And so when I was ready to resign, I walked into one of the insurance companies that was just upstairs. You know, our company was ground floor. The insurance company was first floor. So I walked in there and I told them I asked them what happens to people who lose jobs in our policy. And it's when the manager told me there's a job, there are jobs all over. And said, wait, which jobs? I said, yeah, anyway, I told him I can't sell insurance because my experience was, I used to see when insurance agents come to our office, my colleagues would run away from them. I also would run. You just create a reason not to show up.
Yet
an appointment. But you just create a reason. And I remember sometimes you would even tell each other, if you feel like I've taken more than 5 minutes, just come and call me. So I was very curious to understand, why do people run away from insurance agent? And if it is that good, because I had already bought a policy, if it is that good, why don't people want to buy it? And so my curiosity combined with now I've been given the opportunities available, I was like, yeah, I'm tired in my job. It's a good thing to try and also an FBI, FBI to check to see whether truly what they do. Yeah, so that's how I joined insurance. I started selling life insurance, and it was very hard. It was very, very hard at the beginning. I took 3 months before I even sold one policy. And remember, as an agent, if you don't sell a policy, you don't have commission.
Yeah.
So I had finished all the dues I had received from my previous company. And so I went my negative when it comes to income. Yeah. Thanks for my family because I would say that they were supportive in this journey. Yeah, so it was very hard. And I kept trying to figure out how can we position insurance, especially life insurance, in a way that customers would want it. Because I believed that it had something to do with packaging. And it's true. I discovered that people did not trust insurance. They did not trust the agents. They did not trust the whole process. And so I figured, because being a trainer, as a trainer, you always try to find ways of making your students understand better. So I decided to learn about personal financial planning and management. And I learned that, I practiced what I was learning, and I started teaching my customers on how to manage their money, that is budgeting, goal setting, and how insurance fits into this scheme of financial planning. And you know what? customers started coming to me.
Mm.
Yes, I stopped following customers. I stopped running after customers. They started following me, and my colleagues would ask, how is it for people to see you in the office, yet as we are struggling to find them? I say, you must provide a solution to people. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
You must know what is their problem, what is their pain point, and give them a solution, and they will always follow you.
Mm-hmm.
So I've documented that in this book. You can find it on Amazon.
Great. So it's quite interesting how the experience of agents. I mean, it's kind of the same everywhere, right? I mean, you mentioned about when your colleagues, yourself and your colleagues see agents, they run away or you create an excuse. I mean, I can really relate to some of those things, and it's just evident that there are a lot of things that we can really learn from each other and things like that. So I know that quite interesting, pointed out there, your journey into the insurance space and how it all started and your struggles and what made you begin to get successful. I know that you grew in the agency space up onto the leadership, right? And so what principles or motivations powered you, to climb up the ladder? You are a scientist in the insurance space.
Okay, that's a very good question. Yeah, first, curiosity got me there. Two, challenges kept me going. And the more the challenges, the more I was, of course, it was a very painful process, but the more I was motivated to make it. Now, this is the reason. The challenges were, even my, family would not understand why I would stop doing what they call a noble job.
Yeah.
That's poking me because, at that point, those days, it's like you become a hawker, and hawkers were not really much appreciated.
Mm.
So they couldn't understand how. So I think for me, the drive was, I've made a crazy decision. And when you make crazy decisions, then you have to stand by this crazy decision and you have to make it. So I'd say the challenges actually were the biggest motivation to overcome and make it. Yeah, so those challenges, because even my colleagues, the insurance agents themselves, I remember one time we were asked, why are you guys not selling?
Mm.
And everybody said it because there was no money, because it was 2009. 2009 was a very difficult year in Kenya.
Mm.
I mean, actually, it was difficult in the world because there was the financial downturn.
Yes.
And then in Kenya, it was more because we had just come from post-election violence that had made businesses go down. So everybody was saying that it is because it's no money. But then I remember when I was asked, I said, it's because customers don't trust us. And it was good. Yeah, it was good. They asked, so you, how much have you sold? Yeah, and of course, for me, I think I get solace when I cry. So I cried. I went to the bathroom. I cried myself out. And knew that, God, here you have to help me because there's nowhere for me to go. So I have to make it, I'll make it. So I'd say challenges really drove me to that.
That's quite interesting. And I mean, being an agent, it's quite tough, right? But there are a lot of things that I, for one, for example, has learned, even being an agent, you build yourself, you're able to help people, you're able to create value for people if you actually go down and do the job. In your view now, so the industry has been forced to kind of rethink the distribution aspect of the value chain, right? You play in that space now. And we'll talk about BeSmart later on. But how does an insurer really choose the right distribution channel to use, in today's world?
You know, I worked with insurance. After being an insurance agent, I got a promotion and I became the country sales manager. And also I was in charge of business development and product development at that point. And one thing that I learned during that time, and I am learning even now, that it does not begin with, you don't begin with distribution. You first need to understand the customer needs and then see what is the best product for the customer and then find out which is the best distribution channel for that product. For example, right now, if I believe we need to develop more on-demand insurance products. And those can easily, because most of the customers who need the on-demand, they have a mobile phone or they have access to internet, then you can just use the mobile phone as a distribution channel. So that then you can scale. You know, the thing with on-demand insurance products, I believe that this, the premium tickets will be lower and that can become very expensive to push through insurance agents.
Yes.
Yeah, so then the digital platform becomes the most optimal channel for that distribution. Yeah. So it really depends on the product and then you're able to choose the channel.
All right. So you mentioned a few things there that I'm quite curious about. So you mentioned mobile, right? And I think that if we are going to actually get insurance to every corner of Africa, I mean, we need to leverage a lot of mobile. You know, so but could mobile be the key to you know, us unlocking the informal sector, you know, creating products, you know, building processes around, you know, mobile so that people can consume it there?
There are many keys. Okay, there are many aspects. So when it comes to insurance, there are very many aspects. And one of the aspects is, first, do we have the right products for the customers at the moment? Or are we still selling the products that we inherited from our forefathers? Yeah, that's number one. If we have the right product, then I believe mobile is the solution. So I don't believe technology is the problem. I believe that it is, we have to really do research and understand our customers much more first. And then we use technology to scale the solution that works. So yes, once we have the right product for the customer, then I believe mobile is a solution. For example, in Kenya, we have over 100% subscription for mobile phone. So meaning each household has a mobile phone. So which are a better way of distributing rather than through that mobile? But then we need to think like the way, I would say the way M-Pesa thinks. Because you need to make it so easy and needed. So we need to think like, what do, you know, the lenders, because like in Kenya, the mobile lending is so huge. So what is in the mind of a customer when they're taking a loan? How can we position insurance as they do that? So that as they take a loan, part of the loan goes to paying insurance. So there's a lot of engineering that you need to do.
It means that insurers, I mean, compared to before, need to now begin to engage their customers to really understand them the more. I mean, conversations around, you know, customer engagement, you know, understanding your customer, what exactly, you know, like you said, you know, not just selling what we have always sold before. I mean, we have been selling it for the past 100 years and it's car insurance, right? Okay, let's just sell it as it is, right? So, but really, we are still not seeing the change that we need to see from, you know, insurance companies in Africa. You're right. Not so many are beginning to look at, okay, let's start creating something. But really, how important is it for insurers to begin to, you know, adapt, you know, in response to, you know, some of this customer demand?
I would just summarize it simply. It's innovate or die. And innovation is not technology. Innovation is look, you know, focus on the customer need, focus on the customer pain, engineer a solution around that. That is innovation, yes. So every insurer, every underwriter that is not innovating will die. We don't know. The question is when. It's not whether they will or not. It is when, yes. And I see the when coming very soon. So I think we can't escape that. They have to innovate. Else, other ways will emerge that will swallow the whole
It's interesting. I mean, when you were speaking earlier, you mentioned M-Pesa. Right, so I mean, we're going to come to. I know that you, with BeSmart, is the way that you're working with M-Pesa in terms of, you know, reaching, you know, the customer. So, but before we go into more details of that, so what? So you mentioned that you became the head of sales at the insurance company you were as an agent for, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So. What now at that point motivated you to set up your own business, you know, set up BeSmart? I mean, generally, because I mean, you don't usually see agents go on to set up something major like this, you know. For here, we'll see maybe agents eventually, maybe after 30 years or so, they say, oh, they have a franchise, you know, something, or you know, maybe a broken firm or something, or maybe they just continue to just sell the insurance. You know, once an insurance agent, always an insurance agent. You know, you always get your commission, you know, any which way when you bring in your business, right? What really motivated you to go into that, you know?
Good question. Yeah, it's true. Most insurance agents don't evolve to be something else. I am a curious person.
Okay.
I'm very curious. And when I was working in the insurance company, I had a lot of innovation ideas on what we can do. Because I was always with the customers, with the agents, with brokers, with, you know, mobile network operators. And I had so many ideas on how we can make insurance work. And that was working in the micro insurance department.
Okay.
But then, in organizations, when they are big, it becomes very difficult to push an idea that is fresh.
Yeah.
Because there are limitations in terms of structure and bureaucracy and all that. So a concept may take so long. For example, one of the concepts that I brought on board, the first product that I was able to develop, it took over a year from... proof of concept to market. Yeah. And then I had another idea and I had gotten even partnerships who had created technology, and it took so long to get a proof of concept. But then in my mind, I'm thinking we can do this if we can move faster. So what motivated me to leave was, I want to change the insurance world, but the structures are not allowing me to change. So I need to go so that I operate without structures.
Bold step.
Yeah, so that was a drive that pushed me to leave my job. It was a very good job. I actually, no one does that.
Yeah, that's what I said.
My husband would ask me, who does that?
Yeah. Right, well, I mean, even being an agent is a bold step, right? Because like you said, you know, if you don't make sales, you don't earn, right? So you are pushed to, you get that there's already a motivation to do more, to do better. You can earn as much as you want, you know. So now BeSmart is up and running at this point. So but now, can you tell us a bit about I know you mentioned what BeSmart does, but a bit about what exactly you offer, and I mean that interesting bit with the integration of M-Pesa.
Oh yeah, so when we began BeSmart, basically a marketplace, but then we also realized that we were hitting like a challenge. Because customers will have a very smooth process online until it comes to payment and the claims management and, you know, those documentation. So we would do it manually. initially. But then we realized we need to have an end-to-end connection to the issuer. And one of the most important connections is payment. So we integrated with M-Pesa such that when a customer say they have selected, they want product X, and it is costing 2,000 shillings, so they will go through the process and they'll click on buy. Once they click on buy, they will be asked to put in their phone number. When they put in their phone number, a message is sent to their phone whereby they only put the PIN, basically just authorizing the transaction to go through. And that has made it so simple and easy. Yeah, it's awesome.
That's so. I'm curious. So, BSmart is not a full fledged insurer, right?
It's a marketplace. No, it's a marketplace.
Yeah, right. So now I'm curious how your relationship with insurers that you are partnering with is. Right. I mean, you as a marketplace, you want to make it easy for your customers to be able to buy, you know, seamless. And you have insurers on the other end, like you said before, from your experience, when you have a big insurer, they're, you know, slow to make decisions. I mean, and we see generally around the world, really, that engaging technology is not something that they are quick to do. I mean, insurers, right? So, what has been your experience, you know, engaging them on, you know, with BSmart, and what would you want to see from them, you know, growing forward?
I think we started when the concept was very new. So most insurance companies were fearing to put their product on the marketplace. But then we managed to get two. We decided to just run with the... We actually got the first two. And we started to run with it and, you know, just made a lot of noise about it. And then the other insurers started looking for us. they are missing out. That's the beauty of insurance companies. Basically, they don't innovate. That's a fact. What they do, they just copy each other. So we capitalize on that a lot. So once we get one, we tell the next one, you know, even so and so is doing it.
Yeah.
And so they're quick to adopt. So from where I sit, because I've been in the insurance industry, it's not been very difficult to get them to place their products online.
Okay.
But it was a lot of work to get them accept e-documents. In fact, COVID is what has helped us. This season of lockdown is a blessing to us. Because finally, we have accepted that e-documents are documents.
For the Kenya market now, for example, so can you just maybe briefly just tell us about how much of technology, I mean, the industry is adopting? Is COVID-19 really accelerating that, or we're still seeing a sluggish, like you said, you know, insurance companies don't really, they're not keen to innovate. What's the pulse in the...
I think they are keen, but I think they don't know how to. The structure, the bureaucracy does not allow innovation. So I wouldn't say they are not keen. I think they all want to. Yeah, but the challenge hits them because they have, there are so many handles. And you know, innovation requires speed. Requires speed. You go to market, test, fail, go back, you know, design again, go to market, fail. You know, yeah, that's what is required for you to innovate. Yeah, so it's not that they're not keen. I believe they are. And I think what they should do is to partner with startups like BSmart. And the startups will innovate. Once the product works, then they can take it to the mainstream insurance. Yeah.
Right. So in terms of partnering with startups and, I mean, BSmart, for example, I know that you have a white label product that you want to, that you're testing right now and you want to launch soon, that, I mean, that could benefit insurers, not just in Kenya, but maybe Africa. Can you tell us a bit about what product is about and what you want to achieve?
Yeah, because you see, we are always continuously looking at what are the problems and what are the solutions. We realize that insurance companies are spending a lot of money in technology. and so little time and energy and money on innovation.
Okay.
And so we thought that if insurance companies would focus on managing the risks and, you know, getting the right products, then we can provide them with technology that is very cost effective, and it will take them a very short time. I'll tell you our solution, because we've already built, we put all the features that we imagine that customers will need in the future, including on demand insurance. Mm. So all what the insurance company need is to just take their product, they pay a deployment fees, and then they'll be paying a small monthly fees on a monthly basis. That means they don't need to build technology. What they need is the right product and use our technology to get customers. So it's an e-commerce, it's an insurance e-commerce platform that enables them to customize the products the way they want. And in less than 2 hours, they can go to market.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
and
quite...
in 10% of the cost they would spend on technology.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. So you have done
And cut time to 2 hours.
I mean, that's a win-win, and those are some of the benefits that partnering with insurtechs would bring to the industry, right? And so, I mean, we've talked about insurers. Now let's go back to agents, right? I've been an agent for a while, and part of the reasons why I felt that we needed to speak with you was because of, you know, the agency space, right? There are a lot of values that we can still get from that space. You know, that still contributes a lot to, you know, the premium that the insurance industry in Nigeria, I'm sure also in Kenya, you know, brings up. And so from your experience, right, so what skills or attitude would you encourage today's agent to have, you know, what I call the agent 2.0?
Hi, my name is Joel Masharia. I'm the co-founder of Motisure, where we provide last mile distribution of microinsurance products. Keep listening to the InsurTech Business Series to get the latest on insurance and InsurTech within and outside of Africa.
I would say this, as an agent, let me give a quote. In times of change, learners inherit the earth. While the learned find themselves beautifully equipped to deal with the world that no longer exists. And this reminds me on the bridge that you shared on LinkedIn. Yeah, and you know how the river changed course. And a whole bridge that was a masterpiece has no purpose. So what I would tell agents is, if you sit and continue doing business as usual, you will be very equipped, because you consider yourself learned. You know, learned is past tense. And you will find that the solutions you had, the problem does not exist anymore. So educate yourself in new ways of doing your business. And I see it in this way. And we have a solution for agents also. I see it this way. You need to position yourself as, number one, a digital agent. Number two, or you can be an aggregator. Or number three, you can become a financial consultant. Those, from where I see, if you position yourself to be those three, then you'll be in business for a long time. But if you keep doing business the same way, you know, knocking doors, you will find yourself very beautifully equipped to deal with the world that no longer exists.
What strategies, actions should, you know, the leadership of agency offices, you know, so insurance companies who run agencies, you know, so what strategies do you think that they should be putting in place so that they can get the best out of agents that they are engaging?
I think each agent must have a website to start with. So that's a new office. if you don't have an office, I mean, this is a new office. I call it the new real estate. You no longer need a physical building. So have a website, encourage them to have a website. The next thing, and this I know, I have a team that can train those who are interested on how do you generate leads online, because there are many various ways of generating leads. Yeah. That's what I would do.
Okay. That's great. Yeah. So before we let you go, can you tell us a bit about what the future holds for BeSmart, and you know what you are working on right now in terms of maybe are you looking for investors? Are you looking to expand?
Yes, we are looking for investors. We've been in conversation with a few, and because for us, we say that how success will look like is when we have 2 million customers using our platforms across the board. Yes, so both in Kenya, Africa. Actually, we want to expand from Kenya. So if you call us Nigeria, we'll be very fun. Yeah, so we are looking at, actually our target is Ghana, Nigeria, Uganda. Those are our first three targets at the moment. And then the next phase, we can go to other countries. But those three, we're looking at from January, we should be in those three.
Right, that's great.
Yeah, so we can start connecting.
Yeah, so I mean, I have great people who listen to this podcast from around the world, really. We support what you're doing, and we need more and more innovative ways of doing this insurance business, especially for Africa. There are a lot of opportunities in this space, right? And we need a lot more innovation. And if it's going to be coming from the agency force, I'm all for it, because that's my first family, right? Especially when you're talking about the insurance industry. So yeah, I mean, amazing work that you're doing, and it was a pleasure speaking with you. Really, I really did enjoy the conversation, and thank you very much.
I enjoyed too. Thank you so much. I look forward to actually, because now flights are opened up, I look forward to travel, but let's start the conversation online, and then we can always...
Yeah, sure, no problem. Yeah. No problem.
And get a copy of my book on Amazon. Sell me this pen.
All right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You will hear the whole story. I've written the whole story, including what agents can do.
Yeah, that's interesting. So definitely. So how can people connect with you? LinkedIn, or you want to share your email?
Yeah, LinkedIn. It's on LinkedIn. For BeSmart is BeSmart Insurance on LinkedIn. My Twitter is at Eunice W. Minor. For BeSmart is BeSmart at BeSmart KE. And you can reach me on email at eminor@besmart.co.
Right, that's perfect. Thank you very much once again.
Before we let you go, we elected to spotlight a company creating IoT devices, and these devices have the potential to change the way we sell insurance and engage with customers. Do take a listen.
Can you introduce yourself and what you do, Nahal?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Nahal Jermakani. I serve as the head of strategic partnerships at Novatrack Limited. So I'm born and brought up in Nigeria. And, you know, Nigeria is a place that I consider home. You know, although I've done quite a bit of my education abroad, moved back to Nigeria in 2018. So we're third generation in this country, and it's important to note that why I bring it up usually early on, because as a expat living in the country, as I said, we've been in Nigeria for a long time, and anything that we do in the country is long term. You know, our company has been in various different sectors, various different services for decades, right? Now this particular you know, Novatrack specifically is founded in 2007, and what I do for the company as the head of strategic partnerships for our IoT division is look at how we can utilize technology and the Internet of Things to digitalize businesses across the country, across all sectors. And, you know, one of the questions that Damola sent to me, you know, earlier this week was how has it been since the pandemic hit, or how has our business been coping with COVID? And, you know, we're happy to say that given that most of our operation is focused and the value that we bring to our customers is focused around how do we digitize and how do we bring technology into business processes? We've been doing okay.
All right. So I know you mentioned Internet of Things, but how exactly does this tie to the insurance industry? And when insurance industry are willing to partner with your company, what exactly are they looking to benefit?
Hello, this is Pat Callahan, the insurance elephant, calling from near Buffalo, New York, about 5,300 miles from Lagos. I enjoy listening to the InsurTech Business Series, Without a Demolo Loco, because it proves that even though we are thousands of miles different, the insurance business is not that much different. The concepts and topics that are covered on the InsurTech Business Series, they could be handled the same way right here in Western New York State. So listen in. It's a great podcast, great global and local guests, and it just proves it's a small world for insurance.
Thank you for the question. So it's the insurance industry is one that we're very keen to work with. And, you know, it's a little bit early stages at this point. How exactly Internet of Things integrates with the whole insurance offering for their clients is quite simply on the aspect of risk. We've been in touch with some of the top insurance companies, and they all have, you know, quite substantial departments which are fully focused on how do we reduce the level of risk for the end user. So insurance is broad. You know, you have auto insurance, you have facilities insurance, assets and whatnot. Fire as well is a big thing. So when we talk about the Internet of Things, the aspect of being able to track any parameter on your assets or on your facilities. So, you know, we'll give a couple examples around fire. You know, we I think some major breweries had I think it was Nigerian breweries earlier a couple of months ago had a major fire in one of their warehouse. The question with fire incidents is what happens, how is the response, how quickly is the response from the authorities, right? And when you have assets and you have you know, physical goods in a particular warehouse that end up losing in value due to lack of response, it begs the question, what systems are in place to detect those incidences and get the information to the right people for a quick response? So when you talk about Internet of Things, you know, we have our fire detection systems, our smoke detectors, who actually transmit information from the particular facility, whether it's a warehouse, whether it's a factory, hospital, whatever client it is. And by having access to the information when the incident happens on real time, not only real time, but the notification can be sent either by an SMS, by email. You know, if there's a mobile application, you get an instant notification and the right people get notified for a quick response. So this is just one use case around fire that, you know, we're working closely with some of the insurance companies to bring it to their consumers.
So I know you've been around since 2007. So what exactly has been your customers' experience with, you know, partnering or using your product?
Yeah, great question. So since 2007, we actually primarily have offered solutions around vehicle tracking. Our IoT business is much younger. It's about 2 years old now. The experience from the customer on the vehicle tracking is you know, I think at this point, most people either have a vehicle tracker on their cars, or have thought of getting it. And ultimately, the value that they get is immense. I mean, you know, when you have companies who have large fleets of vehicles, whether it is for transporting people or transporting goods, they want to understand what is the utilization, right? We talk about the importance of data. So yeah. the variety of data that can arise from simply tracking your vehicle. You know, you have things around, as I said, utilization, the route planning is very key, the usage of fuel in the vehicle, theft is a major major concern when it comes to vehicles. So on the vehicle side, it's a quite developed market. There's a number of other service providers that that offer these solutions. So for us right now, you know, our key focus on the Internet of Things within is going to be on the fixed assets, not only vehicles. So. You know, I get a lot of resistance initially when people hear Internet of Things, to say that it's something that potentially, you know, they'll be looking at in the future, or it's something that's coming. You know, it is a buzzword. You can put it along with artificial intelligence, machine learning. So we try as much as possible to educate people that that Internet of Things is here. It's here today. And Internet of Things can be applied to literally anything that you know, that you see around you. So on the insurance side, you know, we're open to continuing to collaborate and work with the insurance companies to see what are the biggest aspects in terms of risk. How do they reduce the risk for claims from their customers? And by being able to track, you know, different pieces of information, you know, we cater to the solution to them to ensure that, you know, incidences are reduced, whether it's fire, whether it's theft, flooding as well is a big thing that a number of insurance companies have brought up to us. You know, so how do you reduce the incidences of these things happening? But more importantly, if they do happen, how quickly is the response time to reduce the loss? You know, in terms of claims, the statistics are there. Federal Fire Department did a study in 2018, and there was about 5 trillion naira a year of loss due to fire incidences. And 60% of those incidences occurred during the nighttime. And usually in the nighttime, you know, the offices might be closed if it's a commercial facility, an industrial facility. So because it's the night, the response is not there. You know, so with our IoT devices, you get access to real-time notification in the event of an incident. And then you can also customize how do you receive the alerts. You know, as I said earlier, SMS, email, phone call. You can even customize with technology these days. You know, you can get a phone call to the head of maintenance, for example, and whatnot.
Okay, so I'm guessing the type of partnership you're looking for currently has to do with insurance. That's correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah. Insurance is a, as I said, it's an industry that we're quite keen to continue to break into and partner with, you know, with the major insurance companies, simply because of the potential that we see. Now, in terms of customizing the solutions, that's really up to listening to the consumer and listening to the insurance company on what they need. What are their pain points? Where are their pain points? You know, oftentimes with InsurTech, and you guys are an expert on the InsurTech side. There's a lot of conversations around registering, processing claims, giving quotations, and whatnot. So, you know, we're quite keen to raise awareness that there's also within the InsurTech space a key aspect of how do you reduce risk, and then when in the event where an incident happens or you have a claim, how do you reduce the value of that claim by having access to that information? through the Internet of Things, through sensors, and the scope of what's possible, the scope of what's possible is quite large. So, follow me in terms of the education piece for the insurance companies. At this point, like I said, we're taking more of an educative and consultative approach to see what are the pain points and what do people actually need? Where is the highest value of loss and highest value of claims for the insurance companies, and how can we work together to reduce those claims and reduce those the value of the loss in the event of incidents? Yeah.
Okay. So, how do you think people can reach you? Like, how can they contact you if the insurance company actively looking for, you know, such partnership, to especially in terms of claims management and other part of the businesses?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they can reach out to me directly through LinkedIn or our website. So our website is plugandplayiot.io. So either our website or reach out to me directly on LinkedIn. And, you know, we'd be happy to start the conversation and see how we can support the insurance companies to reduce their value of their claims and ensure that their clients are able to respond quickly in the event of an incident, whether it's theft, fire, flooding, and whatnot.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Nahel, for coming on our podcast. We hope to have more of these conversations with you. You know, I don't want to say in the future, but sometime soon.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. I mean, as I told you earlier, I'm honored to be on this show. I'm really impressed by what you guys are doing. You know, and technology has a huge potential. I mean, you look at countries like China, like India. You know, China has lifted 500 million people out of poverty within a period of 15 years. You know, the issues in the Nigerian economy and the challenges of the day-to-day businesses is well documented. Now, you know, we prefer to be solution oriented, and we strongly believe that technology is the way forward for lifting people out of poverty, similar to what China has done. So, you know, our engineers who work on our Internet of Things solutions are all they're all trained locally. You know, we bring in the expertise and then train them to develop, hopefully eventually develop their own IoT businesses, you know, where they can build their solutions, whether it's insurance or other industries.
All right, and hope you enjoy the rest of your day.
Hello, and welcome to the news update. I'm Damilola. First, the headlines. Adeolu Adewumiza to take over as MD/CEO of Alliance Nigeria. Law Union and Rock insurance shareholders accept new investors' offer for shares. Africa re-records 30% growth in profit in H1 amidst the pandemic. Court favors small businesses, asks insurers to pay out COVID-19 claims in the UK. Now, the details. Adeolu Adewumiza to take over as MD/CEO of Alliance Nigeria. Alliance Africa has announced a new leadership change at Alliance Nigeria. The change, according to the insurer, is still subject to the approvals of the local regulatory authorities. Adeolu Adewumiza, currently the regional head of mergers, acquisitions and transformation, has been nominated as the MD/CEO of Alliance Nigeria. She is penned to succeed Sukomi Adekeye. Law Union and Rock insurance shareholders accept new investors' offer for shares. The shareholders of Law Union and Rock Insurance PLC have accepted an offer of 1.23 naira per share for every 50 kobo ordinary share they held from the new owner of the company, Verod Capital Management. the board of Law Union and ROC secured the exit payment from its investor in the quest to get full value for the investment of shareholders of the company. Africa Re records 30% growth in profit in H1 amidst the pandemic. The reinsurance firm, the African Reinsurance Corporation, Africa Re, has recorded a gross premium income of $393 million at the end of the second quarter of 2020, compared to $431.87 million reported in the same period of 2019, being at 8.99% below prior year. This is as net profit in the first 6 months of 2020 was $18.72 million, outperforming the same period in 2019, an increment of 30.03%. Court favors small businesses, asks insurers to pay out COVID-19 claims in the UK. Thousands of SMEs expressed their excitement after a court ruled that the insurers should pay out on some business interruption claims connected to the coronavirus pandemic. A number of insurance firms had rejected almost all claims for lost trade relating to COVID-19, arguing that policies did not cover unprecedented restrictions imposed during the lockdown. With the new development, insurance companies will likely pay out £1.2 billion to about 37,000 SMEs on their business interruption cover. And that's it on the news update. Stay tuned.
Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that that conversation. It was a swell conversation. A lot of talking points, a lot of things. I take away her thoughts around the agent 2.0, being intentional, really, because I still think that agents play a huge role in the industry, and they can help the industry to gain a lot of grounds, especially looking at the fact that they have a lot of conversations with the customer, right? And so they hold a lot of knowledge and information and influence, at the grassroots. So engaging them the right way. But then the agents as well need to, like she mentioned, be more intentional and go all out. The mindset has to change. So what stood out for you?
Well, I was going to say you took the word right out of my mouth. But again, I like the fact that she was able to, capitalize on that agency part and was able to, distribute insurance through a, digital market. So she now has, be smart now with a one-stop shop for you to purchase insurance. You have a mini Jumia where you buy insurance from one to check best policy wording. I think it's actually an interesting one, especially now that a lot of people are looking for easiest way to compare prices and to pick insurance that is most suitable for their financial status as well as their wants and needs.
So we are so excited for Eunice Minor and what she's doing with BeSmart Insurance and all the way there in Kenya. And thank you very much again for coming on. It was a pleasure having you. It's not every day that we get a superwoman to be on our podcast.
Now I see why you call her a superwoman.
And I mean, with the book again, so the documenting all of our work in the agency space. I definitely am getting that book, so I need to enter into our mind and see how that works.
We need the time.
Yes. So, thank you very much once again. And we definitely will continue the conversation. We have a lot of things coming up, and definitely we'll be, engaging Eunice Minor and a lot of other people who are doing great stuff in the insurance and insurtech space across Africa. You know, so these guys are really are the trailblazers. You know, as that space is still quite growing and promising. So yeah, we are happy to support them and also engage in any way that we can.
Thank you so much, Eunice, and thank you to all our listeners. We appreciate your contribution and your views, as well as your input as well. Thank you so much. We hope that you have a fantastic day.
Yes. Take care and stay safe.
Bye.